Welcome to the worship service of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Yorktown. The following program was recorded Sunday morning, July 15th.
Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please take note of all the announcements that are in the bulletin, and you're always welcome to take those white sheets home with you so you have a record to check on, see what things are going on. A couple of things to mention. One is that the Sunday school of kindergarten through eighth grade will end early today. They will be ending at 11 o'clock. So if you have kids that age, please make preparations to pick them up at 11. That's kindergarten through eighth grade. In 2 weeks from today, we will have a kind of ice cream social and a sandwich lunch right after Sunday school, and that's on July 29th. If you would like to sign up for sandwiches, I think there is a sign-up sheet in the narthex. It's either here or else in the educational building. So please check that out. And also, just ask for your prayers this week for the confirmation class as they head off to camp. Are there other announcements? Other announcements that need to be made? Anybody else? Not then. I invite you to rise as you are so able as we begin with the brief order for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 526.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy, live according to it, and grow in faith and hope and love. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from the 7th chapter of Amos, verses 7 through 15. Amos was not the kind of prophet attached to temples or royal courts. Rather, he was an ordinary farmer from Judea, the southern kingdom, called by God to speak to Israel, the northern kingdom. God's word of judgment through Amos conflicted with the king's court prophet Amaziah, whom Amos encountered at Bethel. The reading. This is what the Lord God showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile, away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go flee away to the land of Judea. Earn your bread there and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 85, verses 8 through 13, and we will read them responsively. I will listen to what the Lord God is saying, for he is speaking peace to his faithful people and to those who turn their hearts to him. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
Truth shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven.
The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our land will yield its increase.
Righteousness shall go before him, and peace shall be a pathway for his feet.
The second lesson is from Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 3 through 14. In Jesus, all of God's plans and purposes have been made known as heaven and earth are united in Christ. Through Jesus, we have been chosen as God's children and have been promised eternal salvation. The reading. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love, he destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ. As a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth, in Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplished all things according to his counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. King Herod heard of the disciples preaching, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, "It is a prophet like one of the prophets of old." But when Herod heard of it, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." For Herod himself had sent men to arrest Jesus, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guest. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it." And he solemnly swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptizer." Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for his guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What a gruesome story here in our gospel lesson this morning. If you were coming to hear a story of rejoicing or gladness, this is not the morning to come. It's a sad story. You think about all the TV shows and the movies and the violence that is on there. But in the Bible, there are some very gruesome stories as well. We've just heard one this morning. It makes it kind of hard to say at the end of the reading, the gospel of the Lord. Where's the good news in this? It's hard to picture it. Because the person who ends up on the platter, the head on the platter, is none other than John the Baptist. The one who was the forerunner of Christ. A cousin of Jesus. He was the one who was out in the wilderness proclaiming, "Repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Change your ways. Make the path straight. The Savior is coming. Get ready." He's the one, too, who baptized Jesus in the River Jordan. We hear about John every Advent season because in Advent the readings come around to John and we hear of John at least once or even twice during the Advent season. And so we know his story. We know who John is. But here we hear the ending of John. We hear that story, that gruesome story of John. This is a text that would have made it easy to avoid this morning because of how gruesome it is. But then when we consider the other texts this morning too, they follow very closely along the same theme. The Old Testament lesson was from Amos. And Amos was a prophet, or actually he was a herdsman, it says, and a dresser of sycamore trees. He had animals, he raised farm animals, and he also had crops. And God chose him to become a prophet, a reluctant prophet, yet Amos went. He went from that southern country of Judah to the northern kingdom of Israel. That's where God had sent him to be a prophet. He went up there and he told the people, repent of your ways, change your ways. God is concerned about the injustices here. He's concerned about the way you are treating the poor and the underclass, those unfortunate people. He's concerned about the corruption in government. He's concerned about the corruption in business and the way that you treat each other. God is concerned about your idol worship up here. Change your ways. Repent. But he didn't receive a warm welcome. Amaziah was the priest or was the temple prophet up in Bethel. And he was a professional prophet or priest. Amaziah did not get along with Amos. He was upset at the words that Amos said, particularly about the king, that the king would be put to the sword. A raging army would come through Israel and would level the cities and would also capture all the people and would cart them off into a distant land as slaves. And Amaziah cries out that the land cannot contain his words, cannot contain Amos's words. And he told Amos to leave, to get out. Don't be a prophet here anymore. Go back to your own country and be a prophet. Amos was not well received. That word of God was not well received. I also looked at the second lesson this morning too, and that's a letter to the Ephesians written by the Apostle Paul, and you also know the story of Paul, of how at first he was a persecutor of Christians, and then through that miraculous story of his conversion, he became the leading evangelist in the early church, and he went from town to town, from country to country, all throughout the Near East and Southern Europe, and he started the churches. But that too didn't always go so well because Paul was rejected many times. Many times he was thrown into prison. Sometimes he was even tortured. He was chained up. And eventually too, Paul was hung on a cross for his Christian faith. Prophets do not have an easy time. John the Baptist becomes not only the messenger, but he becomes the message for us this morning. I always think John the Baptist is an interesting character. For one thing, of the way he dressed. He dressed in a coat made of camel hair and a leather belt. And the food that he ate was locusts and wild honey. He was out in the middle of the wilderness, preaching up a storm, telling the people to repent. And he didn't care if he made people angry. He even called the religious leaders a brood of vipers. Or to put it another way, a bunch of snakes. A tangled mess of snakes, he called them. He didn't care who he ticked off. He didn't care who he made mad. And in that, though, there is freedom. There is freedom, complete freedom. Even though he was thrown into prison, even though he was beheaded, he still had complete freedom to follow that word of God. It cost him his life, but he had the freedom. He didn't have to worry about what people thought about him. He didn't have to think about how he would be taken care of. He didn't think about the dangers of the world. He had freedom simply to be a prophet, to be able to proclaim, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. For the Savior is near. Change your ways, make straight the paths of the Lord. Herod was intrigued with him. When Herod arrested him, Herod would go down and listen to him. And Herod knew that he was a righteous and holy man, that he did speak the words of God, but he would not release him. He could not because of political reasons. Eventually, Herod is tricked, and Herod does martyr John. God calls prophets at different times from different places. The prophets proclaim God's word. Many of the prophets were reluctant to go, such as Amos, such as Jeremiah, Isaiah. A number of those were fearful of going because they knew what the consequences could be. But they spoke powerful messages. Many people did repent. Many people did turn. Paul did start a number of churches, and Christianity spread around the world because of the work that Paul did. God was working through him. And God works through each and every one of us. As Paul wrote to the Ephesians in our lesson this morning, that you have been given every spiritual gift in the heavenly places. God has blessed us richly and given us the ability to be prophets, to be messengers, to be evangelists, to be caregivers, to be Christians, and to worship and follow Christ. He calls us to use those gifts, to bring that good news to everyone. But many times we're reluctant to do that too, aren't we? We don't want to go. We don't want to say things. We don't want to do things for fear of persecution. And the persecution may be very simple. It may be simply that people ignore us. Or it may be that people reject us. Or it may be that people laugh at us. Or that maybe people look at us. All the way from that point, all the way to the point of becoming a martyr. Martyrdom still happens today. Many countries, it is illegal to be a Christian, to own a Bible, to even speak about Christianity to other people. And people are dying for that. But they are speaking that word of God. They are bringing that love of Christ to people who have never heard it before. Being a prophet is tough. But sometimes that message does get through. And you may not even know it that you're a prophet at the time. I know I was in a restaurant a couple of years ago with another Christian friend. And we, as the food came, we bowed our heads and we said a prayer. A few minutes later, the waitress came by and said, "You've made my day today to see you praying here for your food." You never know when you're going to touch somebody's heart. You never know. It may be just planting a seed, and then that seed doesn't grow or mature until even several years later. But God calls us to be prophets, as hard as it is, as dangerous as it is. And even when we walk through those deepest valleys, when that persecution seems tough, when it seems hard to do, God is there with us. Christ is shining his light in the darkness. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith through Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn number 458. 458. Please rise as we confess the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of the Church, the world, and one another. Holy God, judge your Church with equity and mercy. Cleanse it from false teaching, lukewarm worship, and hurtful words and deeds. Grant to all bishops, pastors, and theologians the courage, clarity, and faithfulness of your servant, John the Baptist, so that at all costs your word of law and gospel might be proclaimed to all people, and many hearts might be drawn to repentant faith. Lord, in your mercy. Like John the Baptist, the lives of many of your servants are in danger today. Keep them steadfast in faith, bold in witness, patient in suffering, and joyful in their hope of the redemption in Christ. Bestow your favor and guidance upon your missionaries, especially those serving in dangerous places. Lord, in your mercy. Keep the people of this congregation faithful to our mission, which is to proclaim Christ crucified and raised from the dead for the forgiveness of sins until life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Bless our young people as they enjoy their summer vacation. Delight them with the wonders of your creation and instill in them a love of learning that does not end with classroom bells. And be with those who are going off to camp this week. Lord, in your mercy. We lift before you the needs of all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Grant them healing, hope, comfort, and restoration. We pray especially for Emma Hinkey and for the family of Philip Bach. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in Christ Jesus we have an imperishable inheritance and the promise of life everlasting. Fulfill that promise to all who have fallen asleep in you. Comfort those who mourn with the sure and certain knowledge that hope is not vain. Give us strength to confess Christ without compromise, to trust him without reservation, and to rejoice in him without end. And bring us with all your servants of every time and place into your most holy presence. Lord, in your mercy. Hear and graciously answer our prayers, dear Lord, as it is best for us and most glorifies your holy name. Amen. You may be seated as we continue with the offering. Let us pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread,
the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into come, for all is ready.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Our closing hymn, number 262. As we go in peace, we share that peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you.